Get started. My name is Joe Evans with National Science Foundation, and we've put together this informational meeting on programmable wireless networks to inform the community about the new efforts that we have and provide a little context so that respondents can be successful. We'll go into details in a second. I briefly wanted to introduce Andrew Burnett from Computer Research Association, who has been kind enough to put together this workshop on short notice.
Yep. I wanted to take the opportunity to tell you what the Computing Research Association was, because I have a feeling that most of you have never heard of us, even though many of you are actually members. The Computing Research Association is a nonprofit organization here in Washington that looks after the care, the welfare, and the funding of computing research. We don't do research, but we talk to Congress and the administration about the importance of computing research, and particularly the importance of money to do computing research. As well, we work very hard to make sure there are people to do computing research. So we have very active programs, for example, to encourage women and minorities to go on and get PhDs and go in the research field. Virtually every PhD granting department in the country is a member. Virtually every industrial computing research lab is a member, as well as all the computing societies for ACM, Computer Society, AAAI, et cetera, are all members. We're not here looking for members, you know, so you can not worry that I'm asking you to join, because it's your institutions that are members, not individuals. But we are quite an active group. If you look on our website, you'll see who the board of directors are, who the members are, and there's lots of government affairs information and so on. And outside, we have some of our publications. Again, we don't charge, they're free. If you're interested in getting computing research news, all you have to do is let us know, and you're on the mailing list. The annual report's mostly budget. And one of our recent conferences was Grand Challenges in Information Systems, the first in a series of Grand Challenges conferences. So if you're interested, just follow up and let us know you're interested, and enjoy the meeting.
Thanks.
It was very helpful that CRA has been able to put this together on short notice. This is approximately, I believe, the first of its kind for NSF, or our type, or our part of NSF, this type of informational meeting. The purpose of the informational meeting is essentially to communicate to the community goals, scope, logistics of the focus area. We'll also, with the help of our invited speakers, go through state-of-the-art challenges in the space that we're trying to address with the programmable wireless networking effort, provide an opportunity to answer questions, and also one of the key goals of this is to provide opportunities for partnerships between academics, which is traditionally who NSF funds, and industry, which we believe can contribute significantly to this particular effort at NSF. The picture that I'm trying to put together here is that we have a number of ongoing efforts in wireless networking, and this programmable wireless networking research will build on a number of those areas. A number of you are participants in or familiar with some of the research test beds, some of the ongoing spectrum measurement efforts, and we believe those can be brought together with the addition of the new awards we'll make under programmable wireless networking to improve wireless networking systems, making them more flexible and ubiquitous. The overview, an overview of the agenda looks something like this morning. We'll have some invited speakers from the FCC and MITRE DSO, and we'll also go into the logistics after a break. This afternoon, I'll have an opportunity to have presentations from Press Marshall at DARPA, and then some of his contractors, as well as other industrial organizations in this area, in the hope that we can inform this community, bring it together, to put together some partnerships for the program response. At the end of the day, we'll have a question and answer session. If you have questions along the way, we'll you know, interrupt as you see fit. Hopefully, we'll have a little time left here between these sessions, so that if there are additional organizations that would like to say a few words regarding their capabilities, there will be an opportunity here. In addition, during the lunch hour, there will be an opportunity in the poster session to highlight the capabilities of your organization, again, so that we can build some of these partnerships. We certainly hope to see partnerships. One of the big picture goals of the way we've put together this program announcement has been to reduce the proposal load at NSF. And so I'd very much like to encourage partnerships rather than many $100,000 a year proposals. Let me next talk a little bit about the general research area as well. So I'll provide a little overview here before we go into our invited talks, and then we'll come back with some of the details later. The basic idea here, oops, apparently we're having a mouse problem. The basic idea here is that we have a convergence of themes. We have significant interest in wireless applications. That should be clear to everyone in this community now, as well as just about everybody on the planet. We have improvements in technology, advances in radio systems. Flexible radios in particular are just becoming available. And we have interest in the policy community in looking at new options, which all is very exciting and provides maybe, we hope, if we can provide the basis for it, the opportunity to build wireless networks that exploit this flexibility. The problems. Wireless systems today, they're generally inflexible because they're based on static spectrum allocations. Limited radio functions are an implication of that. And a further implication of that is that it's difficult to coordinate the activities of radio systems because they're partitioned off in these bands. This encourages proliferation of standards, stovepipe architectures, and discourages innovation and growth. Some of the problems, I hate this wireless stuff, never works. One of the issues is significant interference is being seen already in the unlicensed bands. This is just a map thrown together by one of my graduate students in Kansas. Basically what each of these different colors represents is a different 802.11 channel, and looking at roughly the coverage from particular sites, if you see overlapping circles of similar color, that means that interference is probably occurring. So the tremendous enthusiasm for wireless is expressing itself in deployments that aren't coordinated and may be interfering. Mark McHenry, in the audience here, will speak later, did measurements over DuPont Circle, those measurements have shown the other side of the story, which is that there's significant underutilization in many other bands. I think the number that Mark saw between 0 and 1 gigahertz was something on the order of something like 65% white space. That is regions that there was no apparent activity during the period that he was doing his measurements. And so combined these two aspects seem to present an opportunity to provide better services. At the same time, going a little further on the technology, there's been an evolution in the technology from very fixed, fairly primitive radios through today's systems, which through a mix of analog front ends and then DSP further into the system, provide some degree of flexibility to what we believe we'll be seeing in the future, which will be radio systems dominated by software, the ability to reprogram and adapt as necessary. What do these radios potentially provide? Certainly wide operational frequency supports use of multiple bands. Multiple waveforms in a single hardware unit may provide interoperability so that you can bring these types of radios, more flexible and advanced radios, into the fold. So the impact of that then is dynamic spectrum management may be possible. These things could be adaptable to the local and current situation, allow for rapid deployment, and enable new network architectures because of all this flexibility. One of the issues here, and one of the reasons for this program, is that much of the systems and networking issues in this space remain unexploited, because these systems are just now becoming available. We'll talk more about this later, but one of the points that I wanted to make as we move forward is that there is a rich space that, again, is largely unexploited. The spectrum resources, you know, frequency, time, space, signal format, and so forth, traditional systems have taken particular cuts through that space. And one of the things that we'd like to see in this program is another look at ways we might use this resource. Using that resource, we hope to end up with flexible radio systems that route messages obviously through the network and into the internet, dynamically and cooperatively manage spectrum resources, self-organize, provide for mobility, support a variety of services, use adaptation, support multiple users and domains. The way we'll do this is by focusing on this part of the space, that is building experimental systems that can work in conjunction with some of the fundamental research and provide reusable systems and science. The particular topics that we'll look at, I'll discuss these more in a second, architectures, algorithms, and protocols for things like auto configuration, topology, determination, optimization, routing, management, and so forth. And an important component will be programmable wireless systems that can be used to evaluate these protocols, architectures that we'll develop here in the program. Going into a little bit more detail on that, one of the parts of this focus area will be dynamic spectrum management architectures and techniques. And the idea here is we're going from fairly fixed, partitioned spectrum resources. What type of architectures should we have in order to come up with robust systems that provide quality of service, policy enforcement capabilities? Another area, topology discovery, optimization, self-configuration. An analogy we can draw here is as we go from fixed networks to WDM networks, we added colors, but we still had sort of fixed fiber paths. As we as we make a similar transition in wireless from fixed frequency to more flexible use of frequency. What options does that provide in that space? And then finally, I would like to talk about the interaction between routing topology and administration. That is, how do these different domains talk to each other? How do you handle security policy and so forth? Some of the radio attributes that we'd like to see, and again, I'll go into this much more detail later, is things that are flexible in carrier, bandwidth, waveform, JTRS has been cited as a particular example of this type of system. And then the impact, of course, is vastly improved connectivity, more opportunities for networking devices, and more efficient use of a national resource. That's a quick overview of what we're trying to do in this program. Again, as I said, what we'll do now is have some invited folks speak from the FCC a little bit about what's been happening in the spectrum policy area. This is pretty far out into the future. There are lots of issues, technical issues, to address in the meantime. And one of the things that we want to ensure is that we're working hand in hand with the policymakers to ensure that once the technology is available, it's possible to use it. In the later session, I'll go into some of the details about the particular program solicitation, a little bit more about these particular research topics and what we mean by them, and provide an opportunity for a little bit of discussion of this particular focus. Any questions at this point? If not, I'd like to introduce Peter Tanula from the FCC, who is chair of the Spectrum Policy Task Force, as well as acting chief of the Wireless Telecommunication Bureau.
Deputy chief.
Okay, right here?
Yeah, go right ahead. And
Ed's got a presentation here.